Everybody, this is the Georgia Songbirds, and we're here with Mr. Brian Walker. Introduce yourself, Brian.
Sorry, say that again.
Yeah, introduce yourself.
Yeah, my name is Brian Walker. I'm a pop artist. Write and produce my own music. I went to Berklee College of Music and studied music production and songwriting there, and just been gigging and writing the past like 5 or 6 years.
Okay. Now, the way I do these is it's always pre-recorded, so I won't ever use the audio. I just use just the audio because the video is. If I was trying to do video with this podcast where I'm at in Georgia, my internet is so bad, it wouldn't work.
Okay,
So I'd let you know on top of that. But you said Berklee, so you actually know what you're doing then, as far as like all the fancy and the theory and all that stuff.
little bit, yeah. Yeah, Berkeley is a great school for sure.
See, now explain that, because I've been playing music and writing. I got a band since I was like 15 years old. I cannot read music. I play by ear. I can read, well, I'll change that. I can read a little bit. But I did not have the patience to sit down and actually to follow through with it and actually learn what I'm looking at. I just play by ear. So for all those people that are curious about how to do that stuff, how do you go about that? Kind of give us a theory lesson here real quick.
So yeah, I took like 4 years or 4 semesters of harmony as part of the Berklee curriculum.
Okay.
So they got pretty deep into jazz harmony. So learning things like secondary dominance, changing keys, and it's just a way like for me when I listen to a song and I'm not sure what's going on, using my background at Berklee, I can kind of figure it out. So figure out what types of techniques they're using. So like I was just looking at Mariah Carey's song All I Want for Christmas, and then figuring out that they have like a flat six chord in it, and I can kind of like understand that because of my theory knowledge and how they're using secondary dominance in that chord to give it like a certain type of vibe. So.
See, now for everybody like me that plays by ear, we all know what you just said, but we know when we play it, it sounds good, it works.
Yeah. Either whatever gets the result across, that's just important.
I know my bandmate, I got my Jordan, he's my bassist. He can read music too. So he's like, Jesse, you don't realize what you're doing, but sometimes when you write a song, it's really difficult for us to do because you don't realize the theory part of it. I'm like, nope, sounds good to me. I just
Yeah,
tell
well,
you where
that's
I'm going.
all that matters. Yeah, that's awesome.
Now, Berkeley is one of those big colleges. You have to like try out. How did you get into Berkeley?
Yeah, I applied. I played a song on the guitar and sang it, and then I played a song on the piano and sang it for them. And they had me do some listening exercises and repeating notes. And then the interesting thing that they had me do as part of the audition process is, he was playing chords, the person auditioning me, and he said, "Sing a song about why you want to be at Berklee, why you want to come here." So I was like, on the spot, I had to come up with a song. So I think they were like maybe testing my improv skills and songwriting abilities, but it's definitely like an interesting audition for sure.
I think I want to audition just to see how far I can actually get.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Everyone at that school is very like into music, very focused. So it was exciting to be like around people like that.
Imagine all those guys there and girls are probably a lot younger than I am, so.
Yeah, there's a different range. I think there was someone who was like over 30, and then there were a lot of younger kids out of high school. This was my second school, so I had gone to business school before that, so I was a little bit on the older side.
So you say older side. I'm 45, so I doubt you're on that older, that close to older side.
I'm 30.
Yep. See, what's that song, Strawberry Wine? I still remember when 30 was old. I'm like, I passed 30 15 years ago.
Time goes fast. It's crazy.
Now, you said you produce your own stuff too, right?
Yeah.
Now, what do you use? Do you have like a Logic Pro Tools? Do you just do that stuff in your studio?
Yeah, I used to do Ableton. Now I use Pro Tools exclusively. So I use that for beat making and for audio. And I've learned all the shortcuts, so I'm pretty fast with it. So
Okay.
definitely for that. Yeah.
So for your songs, because you're more of the pop side, I was listening to some of your music just to kind of get an idea and do some reading on you. It's hard to find a lot of stuff on you online about yourself.
Oh yeah.
But for like for your pop stuff when you're writing, kind of give an example. Like if you were to go into a song today, would you start with a beat? Would you just kind of is it di I know it's kind of different every time, but what's your usual process?
Yeah, the thing process that I've been getting into lately is I play a ton of gigs, and sometimes I have like a 2 or 3 hour drive. I played like 130 shows last year, so it's a lot of driving. And what I like to do is record voice memos of hook ideas. That's, for me, what I found is like the best way of writing, because usually if I have a hook that I'm really excited about, I can kind of build a song around that hook. And I have done songs in the past, like my song Ring Ring started with the beat. And I was just like laying on the ground and listening to it on repeat, trying to figure out what was the beat telling me, and then coming up with the song that way. But I tend to like to almost like record voice memos like it's a diary, and it's just got like melodies to what I'm feeling, and then turn that into a song later.
Okay. I usually do, you haven't done this in a while, I do like a little challenge, kind of a fun little, I guess you would call it a, not a test, but just kind of a fun way we could do something real quick. I'm going to give you like a title. All right. Okay. Of, and song. So I'm a songwriter too, so I like to hear ideas. So I'm gonna give you a title and you tell me what, if you were writing a song with this hook, kind of which way it would go. Right.
Okay.
So I'm sitting here thinking about it. Hands of Time.
Hands of Time. So I picture that as like a sad song with an acoustic guitar. Maybe it reminds me of, there's a song that's like in 6/8 time. And so I can kind of, that I'm thinking of, I can't think of the name of it.
That's my
like
nemesis, by the way. Anytime you do 3, 4, 6, 8, it throws me off.
Oh, really? I was just picturing, I can't think of the name of the song right now, but it's this really sad song. And so I'm picturing what you said is kind of a sad vibe. So this kind of like waltzy guitar finger picking type of vibe.
Okay.
Some like strings coming in. I don't know if I'm guessing more on the production side. I've been focused on production lately, but I don't know if that was.
Yeah, that's fine. There's no right or wrong answer. To me, I'm sitting here, I just throw it out because I'm thinking of clocks for some reason. I don't know why it popped in my head. And so, Hands of Time. And then, so for me, I'm sitting here thinking about it now. My brain goes this way. It's like, okay, so the Hands of Time is actually, let's make it literal. You're singing about the, it's still like your grandfather's hands, right? How he works and the calluses. Cool. And as it goes through age, so you start with his as a kid, and then you start as a man, and then the things the hands have done, and then you go to the visual, the end, his hand, it's wrinkled and it's old and calloused. And
you do country music?
I do a lot. I do a lot of different style. I do like rock, but a lot of country just because of the way I talk and the way I play, because I'm no theory, so I stay with the basics.
As soon as you said that with the twist of the words, where it's like an unexpected thing, that makes me think of country music, because they always do like, you don't expect hands of the clock to be, or hands of time to be actual hands. So it's right. Like that plot twist type thing.
Oh yeah. So yeah, I do a lot of country stuff. I do rock. I just can't play it fast enough for me to physically do it. So if I have somebody who's a better musician, it's like, all right, that's like when I get the band and I can just write down the music, they got the drums and the guitar going. It's like, oh, okay, let's do this. And then I can hear the story of it.
Yeah, that works too. That's cool.
So I love co-writing. So if you ever want to co-write, I'd love to try a pop song. I think the closest I came to a pop song was a rock song. And the only thing I came up with it was because I was watching Grease with my little girl.
Okay.
And we were in the hand jive came on. I'm sitting here thinking about, I was like, what if Hailstorm, you know, the band Hailstorm did this song hand jive? What would it sound like? And so I came up with a song, and it came, and then I took it a whole different direction. It's called I Can Be Yours. And it's sung by Bree Fox, your local singer songwriter. And I was like, that's so cool. Just, I love doing that stuff. If you ever want to collaborate and stuff, I'm all for it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, shoot me a message and we can talk about it for sure.
Yeah. So tell everybody then kind of how you got started, because I did find a little bit. So you're from New Hampshire, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And you were like 5. Is that when you got started playing? Or?
Yeah. I started playing melodies by ear on the piano. So like I'd hear a song on the radio and then I'd like pluck out the keys. And
really?
That's kind of how it started for me. And then I started taking piano lessons for a little bit. That was maybe like a couple of years, but not too long. And then I started teaching myself piano by using YouTube tutorials. So I'd always want to learn like the most challenging pieces. So I'd learn like Beethoven, Moonlight Sonata, the fast one, and like Mozart, and try to like play all these pieces just by like copying the fingers on the screen on YouTube.
That is so cool.
And I learned that I was developing a lot of bad habits because I didn't have the great technique. So my hands were like knots when I was playing, but I could like will myself to play all the notes. And then I got into college and I started taking, like, I think I took a semester of formal piano lessons and at least learned the basics of how to do the right technique, like good posture and not tightening up and all that stuff. So, but it started with the piano. And then I didn't get into songwriting until after high school. So in college, I started like singing for the first time, taking vocal lessons. I started performing at open mics, and then it started with covers. And then eventually I got into like writing music, and production didn't start till Berkeley. And that's when I started learning about production and mixing and all that.
Okay. Now I always do a, you said covers. So I always like a cover. I do a cover challenge for the guest. You can do it or you don't have to. I'll think of it later to listen to your music. Because I'm not big on covers. I don't like, I could never do it justice, but I do like somebody, and I do this. I'll take a song and change it. So I'll think of a song for you later, and you can do it if you want to. If you don't, it's not a big deal, but I'll give you a challenge and do it whenever you want. Doesn't matter the time. Just do it your style, your way, and to see what it sounds like. And then I'll all share right. it to like my TikToks and all that stuff for everybody. And I'll tag the artist and maybe okay. somebody, they'll see it.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Now, you were mentioned about playing like by ear. Do you have like perfect pitch?
I don't. I wish I did. Okay. I have decent relative pitch because at Berkeley, you take like 4 years of ear training. So you kind of learn like, you know, this is what a minor third sounds like. This is what a perfect fourth. And, but I always struggled with like chords. So like if they'd play these complicated chord voicings, trying to like figure out the chord progressions was trickier, but they taught at Berkeley, like you listen to the bass line. So that kind of like gives you a hint of what the implied chord is and listening to different qualities like major versus minor. But my knowledge of listening to pitch has all been just from study and trying to like, use like programs like ear training tools and stuff like that.
Okay. See, I always find that stuff very fascinating because I know I don't have, I'm lucky if I find a pitch, honestly, but I like to hear people, like, especially yours. I'm so intrigued by anybody who goes through the schools and can do all that stuff because it's a lot. Like you mentioned, like your posture and for piano, every time I try to play piano, my fingers will lock. And I mean, yeah. I literally, my third finger, cause I broke it playing football years ago. And so I'm like, okay, it physically locks. I have to pop it back just to get it to go straight. So I'm like, I think I'll stick to the guitar.
Yeah, that's fair. Doesn't sound pleasant.
Now, can you play anything besides piano and guitar?
I can play like a little bit of bass and a little bit of like drums from Guitar Center and like programming drums. I kind of know what the drums are supposed to do, mm-hmm. but mainly I tried to focus specifically on guitar and piano because I wanted to be like a self-accompanying singer. And I figured that those were the two instruments where if I wanted to play like a solo show, I could use either guitar or piano and like support myself with chords. So I kind of focused a little bit more on those two instruments. But I have like some rough knowledge of like bass because it's kind of similar to guitar, like with the strings, it's just like the top four strings and you play it like up like this. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll play the acoustic guitar like this if I'm using the loop pedal or something. So I don't have like a ton of experience with the other ones.
Now you're from New Hampshire, but where are you at now? Are you out of New York? Is that what I read?
So I still live in New Hampshire. What I did is I live with my parents and I turned my bedroom into a recording studio. So that's where I'm at right now, is in my home studio.
Okay.
And I use this as like my home base to, so I can do all my gigs and I can work on music full time. And then I'll do things like, I shot a couple of music videos in New York. So I just, I like the backdrop and I like the city and all the excitement. So I drive down and then rent like an Airbnb and shoot it for like 3 days and then drive back. So.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to ask you about that because, I saw your video and your kind of montage stuff for your, Red Flag song. On YouTube. I went and subscribed to your channel. So I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And you shoot all that stuff yourself, right?
Yeah. So I hired a videographer and he's the only other one involved in the process, him and the actors. Mm-hmm. And then I draw up like a storyboard, cast all the actors, and then book all the locations. And I'm like kind of directing it and acting in it and then doing the lighting and all that stuff. So,
okay.
Now I do that editing after and color grade.
You said you do a lot of the shooting and stuff at yourself. Now, do you have like anybody that helps you do your helps you, or are you doing all this by yourself?
I have the videographer who's very like he keeps up with me, so we'll have like a really long day, like start at 8 a.m. and maybe shoot till 2 a.m. sometimes, and he's like really like a key part of the process. And then everything else in terms of like directing and storytelling and figuring out the camera angles, I'm usually taking control of that.
And even for like your booking and stuff, do you do all that yourself as well?
Yeah, so I book through PeerSpace and then I hire my actors off of Backstage.
Okay.
Typically, that's what I found is a good process for me. And for the first music video, I didn't know anything about the legal side of it, so I got a lawyer to draw up like standard release forms and location waivers and stuff like that.
Right. Work for
Definitely like,
hires.
yeah, exactly. So the first music video is definitely like a huge learning curve because I didn't even know what I didn't know, like all the different forms that I needed. But then once I get through that, then all the other ones are a little bit easier. So.
Now, you're playing in New Hampshire. Is there a good music scene in New Hampshire? Because you're actually the first guest I believe that I've had on here that's from New Hampshire.
Oh, cool. There's a lot of like restaurants and like fairs and things like that in terms of the music scene. I don't know if there's a lot of like pop artists, a lot more on the folk side, I'd say.
Okay.
I have a photographer in Maine who's like really puts out some amazing quality stuff, I think, that's competitive with stuff you see in like Los Angeles. I wouldn't say there's like a thriving pop scene in terms of like the stuff that I'm into.
Okay. Yeah, because I don't think if I've been to Maine. I don't know if I've ever been to New Hampshire. I've been in a lot of different places, but I'm always curious because when I do this, my first start, it was just obviously for Georgia because I'm in North Georgia, you know. So I was like, I didn't figure nobody would talk to me. I'll just talk to whoever's around. And then it started growing. And when COVID hit, I had to figure out a way to do more guests. I was like, so Zoom. So I'm thank you for coming on. I wouldn't get to if I didn't figure out Zoom, I would have never got to meet you.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. This is really cool to be talking to someone from Georgia.
And you can tell I'm Southern because you can hear it in my accent.
Yeah, I was gonna ask. Yeah, get the Nashville type of vibe with like the accent and the country music and all that.
And you can see it about studio. What you see behind me is I'm building my studio by hand. So it's slowly going, but I'm gonna get it.
That's awesome.
But
It'll be
let's
great
just,
when you have.
yeah, I'm trying. Like I said, I've got to put the next step is up top. I got the panels. I'm doing like the panels. And so I'm staining them and I got to hang those. And then once those are up, I think the next step on that would be I'll put in like carpet for the band and stuff so that we can do it. And then when I do the wall stuff, I'll stain it, but I'll stain it outside and then bring it inside.
Oh, that's cool, yeah.
Which song do you want to do first?
We can start out with Red Flags if you want. That was my most recent song.
Okay. And tell me, like I said, being a songwriter, I like to hear stories of them. So what is the song behind, or what's the story behind Red Flag?
So Red Flags is I have like on my phone a bunch of song concepts. So I just write down like a lot of song titles too. That's another way that I write in addition to the voice memos. So Red Flags was a lyric idea that I had when I was kind of having this summer relationship with this girl. And I felt like I was getting a lot of like red flags type vibes from the situation, like no win situation type things. So that's where the lyric idea came from. And then months later, I came up with this beat, which is the beat that you hear for Red Flags. And the initial song was called Bubblegum. And it was like, I'm stuck like bubblegum.
Okay.
And I decided that I didn't really want to write it. I felt like the beat was really cool, but the lyric idea was kind of not as, it didn't feel as cool to me as like something like Red Flags. I was like scrolling through all of my song concepts. It felt like I wanted to write like a relationship type song, and that fit the beat a little bit better to me. So that's why I ended up switching to Red Flags.
Okay, because I saw the that's the video I was watching part of it of, and you told me a story of she kidnaps him, right? Is that the story?
I get kidnapped by one of my fans. That's the concept, yeah.
It's funny. I always say, yeah, I got a stalker, and then it's like, do I really want a stalker? Maybe I don't want to get to that part where I have a stalker.
Yeah, exactly.
It's I don't know if you ever watched that show Friends, but Joey had that stalker, and you know it was she came to his house. I was like, I don't know if I want to do that or not, but it would be kind of, it's honestly, it would be kind of cool to have one.
Something that you want, and then when you have it, you're like, I don't know.
Right. So what I'm going to do, Brian, is I'm going to mute us and play Red Flag. So just give me a thumbs up when you hear it.
Okay.
You got that California kind of fashion. Tight denim jeans and sexy Gucci shoes. It's like everywhere we go, you get attention. And every touch you put me in the mood. But you like to bring that drama.
Song. That's one I was
Thank
listening to earlier.
Thank you.
It's very Adam Levine sounding.
Yeah, I've gotten that before. Maroon 5.
Yeah. I think it's your voice because you got like that higher register where you can the falsetto stuff.
That, yeah, the you thing. Yeah.
Right. I could never. I've tried that. I cannot do that.
I've been working on it for years. It's when I first started singing, I couldn't hit any falsetto notes, but it's just been a process to be able to do that.
It was really good. I always like to make my notes here. So your song is very visual, even for a pop, and that's what I think pop songs get a lot of crap for sometimes, but they are still very visual.
Yeah, it's I think the most important thing for pop music is about like all the vocal layers and the sounds and the drums and the mix, vocal performance. And you can kind of get away with not getting deep into the lyrics. That tends to be more of like a country thing where the lyrics are expected to be really like creative. And but with my type of music, I am influenced by country as well. So I do try to put a little bit more attention to detail in the lyrics as well.
And I like that. I mean, that's part of my, I don't know if you said it, part of my notes is the mix was really good. And I said, it's even with, I think pop could do, I know they don't worry about the story. It's more like the groove and the beat and the earworm that they want to get in your head. Right. And the Red Flags is a great hook. It's already a great hook because it's fresh. It's still new. It's like I said, it's something that I could hear on a radio or I could hear like in a sync, like on a TV show, you know, just one of those things. So I really like your music.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate it.
And I know my wife will like it. I always can tell because she likes that kind of music, the pop music, the more the dance and the grooves and the stuff into it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She don't like mine. Mine more goes heathenistic and southern rock, kind of jazzy. So she don't like the outlaw stuff, but she likes that.
That's fun.
So that was really good.
And the mix, I got to give credit to DJ Swivel. I didn't mix this one myself. I mixed a lot of my earlier songs, but this one I just wrote and produced. And then I had him do the mix, and Chris Geringer did the master on that.
Okay. Yeah. And anybody you want to give shouts out to, I meant to say that earlier, I have no problem with it. I believe that we all know it takes an army to kind of get everything off and running in the right way. So anybody you want to give shouts out to, you're more than welcome to, brother.
Cool. Thanks.
So now I'm going to use you as a kind of a guinea pig too. We're going to still talk about music stuff. And I usually would say like a 20 question game at the end, but I kind of like to do it in the middle now too. So what I'm going to do is I've got a little app that's called Spin the Wheel, right? It's like 20 questions in here. So it'll lead us into a story, and then we'll go into more of your music. So the first question, I put it up here so I can hear the little tick, 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 tick. Have you ever been given a nickname?
B-Walk. And it's actually a lot of nicknames. Skywalker. Probably a lot that I can't think of right now. Little Walk when I played basketball because my brother was my older brother.
Mm-hmm. Now, that leads to a good question. Do you play any sports or anything like that too? You do music full time, right?
Yeah, I do now. But sports was actually the bigger focus as I was growing up. So I played basketball. I did a lot of sports and then ended up focusing on basketball and track.
Okay.
And I ended up doing D1 basketball and at my high school. And then our track team actually broke the 4x800 meter relay. So I thought I was going to end up doing that in college, but I ended up getting like hurt as I was training. And then I always had this passion for music and acting, and it was kind of like put aside to focus on sports. And then in college, I really figured out what I loved the most, and I started focusing more on music.
Okay. And I saw like there's a video or there's a picture of one of you have a song and you got a guitar and you're like you're about to smash it on the rocks.
Yeah, that's my upcoming music video. Yeah.
Okay. What is that one called?
When I Start to Care.
Okay. Did you really break the guitar?
I did.
Oh,
it's in the music video. It's in slow mo. So
one take, right?
Actually, it took three takes. So the first take, I went to hit it, and I had no idea how much force was required, and it just, like, barely dinged it off the rock. Ah. And then I said, okay, I'm going to have to, like, really wind up. And then the second one, it put a decent crack in it, but then, like, the momentum almost took me down this cliff. So it was actually pretty dangerous because the cliff was really high. So luckily, nothing happened. But then the third one was, like, the perfect hit, and the whole thing, like, exploded. So yeah, a really good take of it.
See, that's like watching those movies when they take the sports cars and they wreck them. I'm like, no.
Yeah, it was painful for sure because I always wanted a black guitar. And I bought one just for the music video. And I'm like, I'm only going to have this for like a week and then I'm going to break it. But I think it looks cool for the video. And
I was going to show you mine. I've got kept my guitar. It's black in there, but it's like a flat black.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm with you. I love black guitars. I don't know what it is. I guess it's Johnny Cash style, but I just love that stuff.
Yeah, it has like a vibe to it. And I thought, you know, I'm trying to get as much use out of it as I can. Like I'm using it for my Spotify canvas and, you know, like the picture you saw and like, you know, even though it was sad to break it, but I think it's a cool part of the video.
Yep. Because, I mean, I don't know if you ever watched wrestling. I grew up watching wrestling. I love it. And I remember watching, like, when Honky Tonk Man or Jeff Jarrett would hit somebody with a guitar in the head and just bust it over their head. And I'm like, hopefully the guitars are, like, thinned out. And they're, like, really, those are, like, custom made. But I was like, I saw that picture. I was like, oh, my God, he's going to break the guitar. I'm just going to cry. I hope it's like a $100 guitar.
It was bittersweet for sure.
Now, you mentioned like your YouTube and stuff. Do you have a lot of social media that you prefer using that works the best for you?
I think YouTube is probably what I'm the most excited about just because I've been getting a lot of interest in my music videos because I do these like, you know, kind of elaborate things like going to New York and breaking the guitar and getting kidnapped. So that's definitely like what I'm the most passionate about. I always like music videos because growing up, I'd watch like MTV and I'd watch like the VH1 Top 20 Countdown. So I was always like excited about that stuff and interested in it. And then I think I try to keep up with like TikTok and Instagram. I'm probably the most active on Instagram. I
Okay.
post like all my stories, and I think people who tend to be like fans of my music know that I'm gonna post on Instagram and get kind of used to that. And that's where I promote most of my songs. And then I'm trying to make more of an effort for TikTok because I know that that's a big way that artists are getting launched right now.
Yeah.
So I have like a channel, Brian Walker Writes, where I put like a lot of original songs. And then I have my Brian Walker Music channel where I put a lot of like teasers of songs coming out and covers once in a while and stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah, I was seeing the stuff that you do, and I've subscribed to your YouTube. I know with social media, it's kind of one of those necessary, I say necessary evil, because you got to do it, right? That's how
Yeah.
promotion is now.
I feel like most musicians would rather be playing a show or writing a song, but
Yes.
it's definitely how you engage with your audience and kind of give back to them, I think. So.
To me, it's always like when I'm sitting there, I'm just so old, it's hard for me to figure out. Like TikTok, like I have a TikTok, but I use it more for like my kids' videos. Like I do, because when I was younger, I loved the idea of making music videos, right? Just taking video shots. Like my high school project, I was working at a re I worked at a restaurant when I was 15 years old. I bused tables and I did like other stuff. And I remember making a video for my audio video class. And it was, and this is like years ago. So we're like with tape. So we're like winding the tape and splicing the tape. And it was like a ZZ Top song, TV Dinners with a restaurant. And I remember doing it and everybody loved the video. It's like, man, I'm so hungry now. But I remember, I love that stuff. That was so cool to me.
Yeah, I love music videos. They're definitely like a second passion of mine. And I think with like my love of acting too. At one point, I didn't know if I was going to be an actor or a musician, so I was like buying acting books and watching Inside the Actor's Studio and getting really into acting. And I think that's another reason why I like music videos is because I can blend my music and my acting into one project. So, and I did like some playwriting in college too. So. It's nice to be able to kind of like bring a little bit of that back.
Yeah, a lot of actors get their starts doing like music videos as extras or just the actors in there.
Yeah, so it can definitely be like, a lot of musicians too do acting and music. So it's definitely like something I could see myself doing.
Well, let's listen to another one of your songs. Which one do you want to do next?
Ring Ring seems to be, I have like a few fans in Vermont, and that's their favorite song of mine. So.
Okay.
That's the song that people definitely bring up.
So again, I said, tell me a story behind it.
So this one actually has a music video as well. I wrote this about a another like summer type relationship. So it's somewhat based on like something I was going through. I tend to write most of my songs based off of like at least somewhat inspired by some of my experiences. So that's where like the idea came from. And this is the one that started with the beat. So I was just listening to this beat over and over again. And I liked the feel of it, but I didn't know what story I wanted to tell. And then I remembered this thing that I went through like a year ago. And I decided that was a story that would fit well with this beat. So that's kind of how it came to be.
Sheepskin. I was so young and naive then. I should have seen the signs, but I just looked away. Partying out on the West End. Then you go home with my best friend. You left me saying two goodbyes in just one day. Missed calls, no reply. I'll try to fix this. You thank me by posting pictures. And now I got no sympathy when you come crawling back to me. Ring, 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 ring. Ain't nobody picking up the phone. You trick me and play with me. You put my head in fantasy. Ring, 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 ring. Ain't nobody picking up the phone. I'm moving out to the West Coast. Take over the radio. I know you'll be calling when you hear my songs. Cause I know that you wanna be famous. And you're not afraid of your shameless. I know you'll do anything to get a prize. Missed calls, no reply, you can't fix this. If you wanna see me, look at pictures. precious. Cause now I got no sympathy when you come crawling back to me. Ring, 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 ring. Ain't nobody picking up the phone. You trick me and play with me. You put my head in fantasy. Ring, 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 ring. Ain't nobody picking up the phone. In your eyes, I gave you love and I gave you
time.
You said goodbye. Well, now I got no sympathy when you come crawling back to me. Ring, 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 ring. Ain't nobody picking up the phone.
Your songs are so fun.
Oh, thank you.
I'm sitting there. I love that line. You go, wolf in the sheepskin. I was so naive then. You have such a way with words.
Oh, thank you. That's something that my dad's always said, the wolf in the sheepskin or wolf in sheep's clothing. So That's probably how that lyric was in the back of my mind. I hear that a lot.
Oh, yeah. I can tell because my dad and I say that a lot too now because I got a song that I wrote called Pretty in the Dark, and it's talking about the same thing. It's kind of a relationship. You know, you're out there, you're wolf in sheep's clothing, right? You think you think you're the wolf, but you're actually the sheep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great metaphor.
Yes. And I love the phone effect that you did with it. It fits with the song because you're talking about the ring, ring, calling. I love that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I like doing that prosody where like in my new song, I say something like broken glass and then having a glass breaking and things like that. Kind of fun.
I like hidden things like that too. Now did you produce that one? Did you mix it?
This one I wrote and produced. And so if you look in the credits, Prince Charles Alexander is also on the song. Okay. And he was my mentor at Berklee College of Music. So he was a production teacher that I took a lot of classes with. And he gave me a lot of knowledge on writing pop music and vocal production. So while I was at Berklee, I started the Billboard Hot 100 Club, and he would come to a lot of the meetings and we'd like break down hit songs and listen to the top songs. And so he's always been like a big part of my start. And for this song, I was sending him versions of it over email, and he'd give me like some feedback on it. So like the first version actually had like a rap for the verse, and he was like, no, this doesn't sound right. And he was right, because I didn't have a lot of experience rapping and I was kind of like messing around with it, but I think it works a lot better with like a melodic hook. So he had some like great ideas like that, and he kind of mentored me through like a lot of my earlier songs. So he has like a credit on like some of those songs, and That was through that like process. Yeah.
See, now let's talk about, you mentioned something in there that was pretty cool. You started a top 100 Billboard Club, right? Top 100. So what exactly was that?
Yeah. So I was doing the songwriting club at Berklee, and I realized that it wasn't exactly what I was trying to do. And I didn't know at the time really the reason why, but it was a lot of more like folk music and a lot of like singer-songwriter stuff. Mm-hmm. And I just knew that I was into hit songs, and like, I learned that it's like the production and the mix and all that other stuff really matters for pop music.
Right.
And that's kind of what the club evolved into. So like the first meeting was like me and like two other people who were running the club, and Prince Charles, who showed up. And I took the top 100 songs in the Hot 100, and I charted all the BPMs because I wanted to see like if speed of the song was correlated to whether it was a hit or not. And I learned that it wasn't really correlated, but it was more had to do with the feel of the song. So like R&B songs would be like a little bit slower, like a dance song would be more like 120 beats per minute. So I learned a lot by doing that, but that was like the first meeting was me presenting speeds of songs to the club. And then eventually it evolved and we started like booking studios with Prince Charles, and we'd like fill up the studio with all these people looking for critiques on their songs. So we listened to like one of the Billboard Hot 100 hit songs and listen to like the bass and the mix and the vocals. And then we'd listen to one of the student songs and we'd like critique it and say like, what are some things maybe that these hit songs are doing that could make our songs better or more like commercial?
See, that is so, so very cool. And it's, and it helps. So that's, a lot of people get kind of worried with the critique, but I think you can do it. If you can, first off, if you can't take a critique, then you're in the wrong business, because people are going to hate it, whether it's good or not. You just, you can't go by that. But yeah. I think that it's cool that you mentioned something that that doesn't get mentioned very often, and it should. You talk about the beats per minute. That, what was the median did you find for the beats per minute of a song on the top 100?
Actually, after talking with Prince Charles, he said that they have cycles. So it'd be like a 2 or 3 year cycle where it'll be faster or slower. Mm-hmm. So like when I was listening to pop music, when I was going to Berkeley, it was a lot of like hip hop influenced music. So it was more like 70 beats per minute and this like halftime feel and trap hi-hats. And now we're getting more into like 80s music. So you have songs like Blinding Lights, which is 171 beats per minute. And then Charlie Puth put out a song called Light Switch, which is 171 beats per minute. And it's like this certain type of feel that's in a lot of hit songs. It's like double time feel. And then you have like dance songs are usually like 120 beats per minute. But I would say right now we're in like a fast era where everything's like double time. But like a few years back, it was more like halftime feel.
Okay. See, and that shows that that music is going to go in circles. So if you're trying to write for 2 years in the future, the slow, jazzy, blues songs, I have faith now my songs are going to work.
Yeah, exactly.
When it comes to that stuff, that to me, I love statistics anyway. And that to me is something that I don't think people really look at. And I really, when you said that, it's like, I'm curious. Do they still do that club that you started?
They were doing it at least for like 3 or 4 years after I got out of Berkeley, but I haven't gone back and seen if it's still going on. But I think last time I checked, they were doing it. So,
okay. See, that's cool. Now they got to name it after you. You got to tell them, hey, you got to name it after me, the Brian Walker School of Top 100s.
Exactly. Brian Walker Club.
Right. Or as you know, one of your nicknames, you know, I'd be Walker or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool. Now I sit here watching. I always like to see when people listen to music. Does it bother you to listen to music? Is it weird when you have to listen to yourself?
I'm always analytical. So I think when other people, like, I can't really enjoy my music for the most part. I'm always like, how could this have been better? Oh, maybe I should have layered this more. Like when I was listening to Ring Ring, for example, I'm listening to like the vocals and saying like, how could I have mixed that better? And, you know, I'm always like a little bit critical, or I'm saying something like, you know, that's a cool thing I did in that song. I got to remember that for my next song and like remember to do more of that type of thing. So it's usually like, how can I learn from this experience and less like enjoying the song?
What was the BPM of that song?
Ring Ring, I believe, was 93 or 91. I know it's low 90s because it was that was one thing I thought after I released the song, I'm like, should have been a little bit faster, but it was like this swing kind of R&B beat. I think it pocketed around like 91 is my guess.
I think that's a good speed. 80, 90s is good speed. And I think if you do enough of the, I mean, you can always like double time it. You know, if you're doing 90, make it 180 if you really want to go like really fast. But it's, I like stuff like that. I think the beat was fine. I think it was a perfect fit. I think if somebody's like writing a song or listening to the beat, guys, when you listen to this, if you're listening, he went to school. He's obviously learned something about how to do the beat. And I'm sitting there listening, and that's what I said about my wife. That's why she likes it. She likes the beat, the music, something you dance to. It doesn't matter what the words are, which as a songwriter hurts my heart. It really does, because I know that's what you want to write. But as if you want it to be on the radio, which people say radio's dead, it's not. You still want your music heard. It's just there's so many more mediums that you can put it on. But if you want it to grab people's attention, they like to dance. They don't like to cry. That's what songwriters like to do. They like to cry and write sad songs, but the people want to dance.
Yeah, I heard that about Charlie Puth, that he wrote Attention on the piano, and he said it was like a sad piano ballad, and then he said he wanted it to be like a fun song, so then he just like sped it up and added drums and bass to it. So it's interesting how sometimes like a song that you think is like, oh, that was a ballad, or that's, you know, too slow for radio or something, just like changing the BPM and like putting four on the floor kick under it or something, and all of a sudden now it sounds like a hit song, you know.
Yeah. And that's all production stuff. And that's stuff that I wish I knew more of, because I know that that's when you're listening to people's song and talk about critique. Most times if you go to pitch your music, they're going to listen to it for 30 seconds, if that. So the first thing that's going to draw their attention is the production, all the production. Yeah. That's it. I mean, because most songs don't start like right. They don't jump right into it. They give you a little 2-4 or whatever. They give you a little bit of a taste of the beat and the music, and then they get into the story. So that's the first thing you hear. Second thing, of course, is the vocals. That's what they're listening for, and the hook. So does it hook you? And then most of them don't care about the meat of the song. Like I said, as a songwriter, that hurts my heart to hear that, but that's part of what it is. So like, and that's for pop music. For country music, it's the same thing now. They do more beats, and they do more, what does it sound like musically, not what is the storytelling. And I think there's places for everything, but like if somebody wants to be in your genre, in your lane, I think they really need to pay attention to what you're doing, because everything I've heard of yours so far is really good.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Now we're going back to the wheel of death now. You ready?
All right.
What's the weirdest dream you've ever had?
Weirdest dream. Trying to think if I can remember a dream. I think the weirdest dreams that I have are the ones that are really close to reality, because then you wake up and you're like, did that actually happen? So like when there's something that's like a normal day, but then there's like something like say, for example, you were going to go to the bank and your dream was that you deposited something in the bank, and then you think you already did it because you dreamed it, but then you didn't actually do it. So it kind of like plays with your mind. So those types of dreams are always kind of weird. I've had a lot of like famous people type dreams, like co-writing with somebody, or like I was in a studio with like Taylor Swift working on a song or something, and it just like feels like completely normal, you know, those types of dreams too.
Yeah. And I think all musicians get those dreams where they're playing music or writing, or they're at a concert and it's their music being played. It's like, yes, that's my music. I had one about Rihanna. I was talking to her and I realized the song was playing and she really liked it. And then I realized it was my song. I was like, oh, that's a good song. And then I woke up and I'm like, I can't remember it. Let me see if I can play it. And so, yeah, I remember.
It's Paul McCartney who wrote a song in a dream, didn't he? One of his hit songs, I think. But yeah, it's always cool. I've done that before too, where you like wake up and like you have a melody that you wrote while you were dreaming, which is a weird kind of like phenomenon.
Jim Morrison did that a lot. I mean, he may have been drug induced, but he did that a lot. My wife, I'm trying to see if it is on here. She sent me something. And no, it's not on here. There's some kind of technique she was telling me. I wish I could find it. Where you're in that, I guess zen place is what you call it, is you're in that middle of that dream state where when you have those dreams, like your music dreams, that you actually can stay there and remember what you do. And I really want to find what that's called, because it's so cool. I was like, that would save me so much time if I could do that, because I don't know how many songs I've lost to my dreams.
Yeah, sometimes I'll like wake up in the middle of the night and I'll be having a good dream and I'll try to like get back into the dream. Like that was a good time. I want to be back in that world.
Right. And as you get older, like me, it's like, because it's a bathroom break. Like, no. Oh man. And then you got to get up and go.
Exactly.
And like, I want to go back to my dream. You mentioned like realistic. I had a realistic dream that's, I was a kid. I remember this to the day, because it was one of those dreams that you're just doing a mundane activity. In my dream, I wake up, I'm going to the bathroom, I turn on the lights, and my dad's in my bathroom looking in the mirror. And I'm like, hey, daddy. And he turns around and shoots me. And I wake up. I mean, I just shoot up. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, that's a nightmare.
I think I avoided my dad for a couple of days after that.
That's scary.
So what kind of projects you got going on now, Brian?
I have a new song coming out called The When I Start to Care One. That's going to be coming out on April 14th. Okay. And I shot the music video for that in New York City this past fall. That one's kind of interesting because I'm wearing a straitjacket in it and then smashing the guitar. So there's some fun stuff in that. And then right now I have a lot of shows. So I'm playing, like, I think next week, like 5 shows in 5 days. So that's this year is definitely going to be really busy with all the shows. And I'm kind of in this period of studying right now. So a lot of times I'll, like, write songs using all of my knowledge. And then when I feel like I kind of hit a roadblock where my next song would be just as good as, or like it won't be any better than what I've already done, then I want to, like, go back in and study and figure out, like, how can my songs get better? What am I missing? Can I become a better producer? And, like, taking classes, tutorials. So this, like, next wave of songs will hopefully be, like, a step up from what I've done. So I'm kind of, like, in the middle of the studying mode right now.
Okay. And you know what, that, when you say that to me, I'm sitting there listening to you talk about that. That is something that I think when people get tired or they quit something or they get behind and they don't want to get burnt out, I think it's because they don't realize the work that it's going to take. And maybe they do realize the work, but their expectations of it are so high that they're not willing to take the steps to get there. And I know it's in the music industry, it is based a lot on looks. We understand that, but it's also based on talents. It's who you know and what you do. And as you get older, they say, oh, you get older, you can't do it. I don't believe that. I think the difference is when you're older is because you have more responsibilities, right? And you just got kids and grandkids and you just don't have the time. But I think that when you're younger, you get so worried about what people think about you. And we talked about it earlier, is there's always going to be people that hate you. It doesn't matter what you could be really, really, really good, and they're still going to hate you for it. And if you're a kind-hearted person, you try to take that into heart, again, you may be in the wrong business, because it is a business. Now, if you want to do it for fun, by all means, you do whatever you want to. It's your life, your music, get it out, right? But to do the business side of it, you kind of got to have a little bit of that chip on your shoulder and that willing to learn, which I'm listening to you talk, and I get inspired doing these interviews, and you're inspiring me to write better and to actually focus on more stuff. I would love to go do the school, but I don't think my wife let me go to California for 4 years.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot you can learn online as well. Like, I know Berkeley has an online class, and then they also have like Mixed with the Masters has this program on all these videos you can watch, and it's like $200 a year, and there's all these top mix engineers. So there's a lot of stuff online these days too, but Berkeley was just inspiring because it showed me how competitive it is. And like, you can think you're working hard, and then all of a sudden, like, they book studio sessions from like 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. and then like everyone would show up, and that's like a normal thing. So you realize like how hard these people are pushing it, and I think that inspired me to work harder.
Yeah, it does. It sounds like you got the right idea and the right mentality for it. And like I said, your music's good. I mean, I can sit there and sugarcoat it and tell you, oh, it's great. But I mean, it is. I like it. I mean, could I do it? I can't do it the way you do it. Can I write songs and stories? Of course. I could never get the pop beat, because if I had to mix it, Jesse trying to mix pop music would not work.
It's challenging for sure. It's a whole other like way of thinking. I think songwriting is a little bit more like creative, and then mixing and production, you start to get a lot more like technical, like looking at transients and layering sounds. Like one clap is like 5 different sounds, and it's a lot more of that like analytical side.
Right.
But and it takes, you have to develop it, and you have to keep like nurturing that skill to build it too. So.
And things change. It's like anytime you do like the computer, you know, computers change daily. My oldest son, 26 years old, went to school for computer, well, started as computer design. He wanted like video games and stuff like that. Now he works for the Air Force building their, I don't know what he does. He does computer stuff, IT tech, whatever he does for them. I couldn't tell you. It's just part of what he does. But I always go to him with questions about like the computers, because that's the way of the world. You got to get used to it. Same thing with like this music. You mentioned earlier, like you wanted to do a rap. I think with pop songs, a lot of times that's what they do for the bridge, is they just rap.
Yeah. That's definitely like, I know there's a whole phase where like Maroon 5 would put out a song and then you'd have the rapper in the bridge section. And I think you look at like one of Ed Sheeran's biggest songs, Shape of You, and it's like rap influenced in the verses and then he sings in the choruses. So there's definitely like a special thing about having that contrast of like a rapper and a singer.
See, and you mentioned it earlier too that I think what you said is the key is like the BPMs, the cycles, and I'll still go to that because that's the honestly the first time anybody's ever said that I remember talking about the BPMs of a song. We talk about a dance and sad and stuff like that, but you hit it with the technical side about the BPMs and studying.
Yeah, I have a very analytical mind. So like I like the idea of you can't copyright like a BPM. So if there's a song you really like, you can figure out, okay, it's 120 beats per minute. And I want it to have the same feel as that. So if I set my song to 120 beats per minute, it's at least gonna feel like that song. And then you write like a completely different song. And people are gonna move to it the same way because it's got that same like dancey feel. Like a lot of dance songs are 120 beats per minute. So if you have a DJ, they're gonna just cue up all these songs that are like 120 beats per minute, and that's gonna get everyone on the dance floor. And if it's not 120, they'll make it like faster or slower so it fits in with all the other songs. But if you write a song that's like at that tempo, then it's just gonna tell like people subliminally that it fits in this type of genre and it's a dance song if that's what you're going for. But I just think that BPMs are like a great way to start. So you can say like, I want to write a dance song, and then you know how you're going to be in that world. Or if I want to write like an R&B song or something, you can kind of have like a great starting point where you know this song I'm writing is going to at least fit in this world because I know it's the same tempo. And then you just have to like kind of put your originality onto it and all the other stuff.
Now, is waltz is like 60?
It all depends. So I think Alicia Keys has a song that's 6/8. Fallen, I think it's 60 beats per minute, I'm pretty sure. But and I think actually Perfect by Ed Sheeran is also 60 beats per minute. So there's like sweet spots for whatever type of hit you're going for, I think, where if you're going for that waltzy type of feel, you can figure out the BPM and a lot of hit songs will fall into that. Like I've noticed a lot of halftime feel songs are huge hits and they're 60 beats per minute. And I don't know if that has to do with the fact that 120 beats per minute is exactly double, and that's like a dance song, and it's like that same type of feel but halftime. But there's a lot of like patterns. Like the type of pop music I like the most is probably 100 beats per minute, which is like Shape of You, and a lot of I think Havana by Camila Cabello is like 103. So like a lot of radio pop songs kind of sit in that type of tempo.
Yeah, that
But
mid tempo.
yeah, but if you keep like digging in, you start to realize that like it's like kind of feel related and genre related. So if you want to feel like those types of songs, then you set the BPM for that. Or if you want it to feel kind of like more laid back and slow, then you can kind of like dig into those types of songs and figure out what they're doing.
Now, is it like a database or website that helps you that tells these songs BPMs?
I think there is somewhere, I thought I Googled it at one point, but I thought like some of them were off or something. So I usually just take my phone and it's got like a metronome on it. So you can like tap tempo.
Oh yeah,
And
I
then,
got that on mine.
yeah, so I use that. And then, like, I use it all the time. So I'm the type of person, like, I go to a club and my friends would be like drinking and I'd be like tapping the tempo to see what everyone's dancing to and what speed that song is. So.
So you're the designated driver, is what I understand.
Yeah, you know, I'm more like into like why are people like, and you know, I have fun too, but I'm like interested, why is everyone dancing to this music? Why does when this song come on, everyone gets up? So like one way to like quickly figure out is okay, it's this type of tempo, and there's a lot of other things happening, but at least you can kind of narrow it down a little bit.
That is really, really cool. 'Cause, and that explains a lot of what when you hear Stapleton's version of Tennessee Whiskey and how he took that Etta James song, I'd Rather Go Blind, and put the song with it. This the have you heard it?
I haven't.
You've heard of Tennessee Whiskey, right? Everybody's heard
Yeah.
Tennessee Whiskey. Okay. I'm gonna share this with you real quick and then we'll do another one of your songs. But this to show you that this is what he did. It's so funny that you said that, and it makes me now it makes sense why he would do it. So I bet he's got like the analytical brain too, right? Just to figure stuff out. And so here you go. You can see that, right?
Yeah.
That's not Tennessee whiskey. Tennessee whiskey. It sounds like pretty similar to that.
Yeah, definitely. I can see the similarities.
So let's do one more of your songs. Which one do you want to do for your last one, Brian? I can pull any of these up or any of your discography. I mean, whatever song you want to do. But that's the
might top. Be interesting to do. Looking Like My Wife, I did. That was a song I wrote, produced, and mixed. So that might be interesting to hear.
Okay. So tell me the story behind it.
So this one was more of, I wanted to write a song that just like was completely based off of feel. So I just like came up with this beat, and then the lyrics just kind of like came out, and I didn't want to overthink it. I didn't try to, like, a lot of my songs, I go back and I rewrite and like do all this like editing and like kind of overthink it a little bit. Mm-hmm. But this one, I just wanted to like let it flow out, and I wanted it to be like a fun song. And I was actually taking like a class on writing and production. I think Charlie Puth was offering one, and Lewis Bell. So I was like writing classes for the course. And one of the challenges was write in a way that you've never done before. Like challenge yourself to do something you don't normally do. So I don't normally like, I'm very analytical, so I don't just like go with the feel. So I just came up with this track, and then came up with all these melodies and just looped it. And I just wanted the whole song to feel good. And it was meant to just be like a fun song. Like You're Looking Like My Wife, it's like a flirty song. A lot of my music is a little bit like darker, like Ring Ring is like, I have no sympathy when you call me. And I wanted something that's more uplifting. So that's where like the idea of the song was, like I wanted to have something that I could sing out that was more like positive and happy and uplifting. And then this one has a music video as well. So I shot this at Hampton Beach in Hampton, New Hampshire, which is about 20 minutes from my house. And I rented like a luxury convertible. And that was a whole like fun time shooting at the beach.
Maybe I could get you another girl. I think that I'm your type. Take a trip to California, baby. I could be your ride. Maybe I could get you another girl. I know that you're my type. With the way you shake that body, girl, you're looking like my wife. Yeah. I got wheels, girl. Let's go for a ride. Quit that job. Who needs a 9-to-5? Girl, can't you see it? I got real big plans. I got mansions in Miami, diamonds in your hands. If you ride with me, tired of feel, you should ride with me, ride with me. Cause I think you could be the one for life. Maybe I could get you another girl. I think that I'm your type. Take a trip to California, baby. I could be your ride. Maybe I could get you another girl. I know that you're my type. See the way you shake that body, girl. You're looking like my wife. Yeah. You turn me on like a carburetor. How like an elevator. I want you now. Brick by brick, down the tiles in the park, baby, just to kiss your lips, yeah. There's something special, I can see it in your eyes. You can shake away the nervous, baby, trust me, you'll be fine. If you ride with me, ride with me. I'll give you the love you've been trying to feel. You should ride with me, ride with me. Trust me, girl, you're looking like my wife. Maybe I could get you another girl, think that I'm your type. Take a trip to California, baby, I could be your ride.
I like the beat in that. I really do.
Oh, thank you.
I could tell just talking to you now, what you think, I could tell that you didn't know where to go with the song after that, because it's like, it's one stuff, because you're repeating stuff. I was like, where's because this is the one where I'd hear rap jump in at the end, and then you come and separate it.
Yeah, it was actually rap influenced. So part of my, while I was writing this song, was I was curious to see, like, if I sang this lower register and it was kind of like rap influenced, how the audience would react to that. Because I didn't know if, my thought was in Ring Ring, which was a song that came out before that, I didn't know if people liked me singing high notes or if they wanted to hear me singing this lower register. Because like artists like John Mayer have made a big career off of that, and like James Taylor. So I put out this song kind of as like a test to see if people liked me in this register. And what I've learned is that people seem to like more higher energy stuff for me. So that's why the follow-up, which was Red Flags, has more of those, like you said, like the Adam Levine type influence. And mm-hmm. it was kind of me kind of figuring out who I wanted to be as an artist. So I think I've learned that like the other two songs we listened to, I think are a little bit more of the direction I'm headed with my future music. But this was kind of an interesting experiment.
I mean, I liked it. I could tell with the beat and stuff that it was. You say rap, it's more hip hop kind of R&B stuff. But I could tell I was just waiting, like I said, for that, because all your other songs are like the radio friendly. They're 3 minutes, 2:50 now. They're a little shorter. And this was 2:19. So about the 1:50 mark is where I hear a rapper coming in. And then you come in at the end and it stretches it out just a little, not a lot, you know, however long they want to do it. But that's what I hear. And I'm like, I liked it either way. And I think why the higher thing, and this is my opinion, why people like the higher register of it, is when you sing low, like I have like a low voice too, when you sing low, it kind of naturally, I think your brain takes it to the sad, because it's dark, right? It's deep, it's sad. It's like you think of something bad's about to happen because it's dark. It's like the tones and the deep tones when you're hearing horror movies.
Yeah, it's definitely like, I get what you're saying, and like the music's kind of minor chords and stuff. Right. But I like what you're saying too. Is what's interesting is about the idea of having a rapper. Nowadays with like TikTok, you have songs like The Weeknd just put out a song and it's now in the top 10, and they did the remix with Ariana Grande. So even just because the song's out doesn't mean it's done. You can always go back and you can re-release it. You can find a rapper, you can extend it, make it a 4-minute song, or there's never like a finite, this is definitely done type of thing. Like I think there's a lot of hit songs where a singer's put out a song and I think it was Jewel who did it, who put out one of her biggest songs and it wasn't a hit, and then took it back and then re-recorded it with a different producer, put it out again. And then like, it was like 4 or 5 versions and then it became like a huge hit. So it's always interesting to like reconsider that too.
It's funny you said that, because I was about to write down TikTok, because you see these people that do like the duets, right? And they always have these kind of competitions. And I like to listen to it. I was like, because it's pretty cool. Because I like to say, let's see if I can rap. I'm not a very good rapper, I'm going to be honest. I'm a good songsmith. I can get the words. But as like far as like those beats, I don't have the cadence that some of them have. Like I have my own personal cadences that I can do. And it sounds okay. But, I mean, let's be real. There's other ones listening to it. And the way that they just spit that stuff out. I mean, like, whoa. Because there is a technique to that. To when they went to rap.
Yeah, a lot of like rappers blow my mind. Like I think Busta Rhymes has this song where he's like putting out the words, and I'm like, that's crazy.
I'm like, there's not real words. I'm gonna look up the lyrics. I wanna see what he's actually saying. I think he's just making up words.
Yeah.
I think he's scatting.
It's definitely impressive whenever they can do that. I think Eminem and Rap God has this like verse that's really fast too. It's, you know, that's always definitely impressive to see them do that.
There is a when I was growing up, there was a band, Bones Thugs and Harmony, and they would rap so fast. It is like, you're like, what are they saying? And then they had like a Naughty by Nature. They did a rap, and one of the lines in it was, "You say I'm rapping too fast, you're just listening too slow."
That's clever.
I thought that's really cool.
I love those clever lyrics. That definitely adds a lot to the song.
I've had fun, Brian. We're not quite done yet, but before we get into like the more Will of the Death, as I call it, which I'm calling it now, tell everybody, because this is all going to be pre-recorded. It's going to be a couple couple weeks, maybe a month or two before I can get yours out, I'll let you know. What I started doing is I'm putting out 2 episodes a week. That way I can catch up from everybody. Because B Squared sent me a lot of people, and then plus the local artists that come on and everybody else that listens. So like I could show you my list of people that I'm trying to get in. But I'll let you know. I'll get in. And what I do is once you're in, once I release it, I put your song on the Georgia Songbird Radio, and I have the weekly top 10 countdown, and I send those songs to other radio stations as well. It's just kind of a way for me to help you guys get exposure wherever you can. And your songs will be fine to go on there. Some of them I can't because the radio stations have, the other ones have guidelines. I don't. I've never been a guideline person. I take whatever you give me. I don't really care. But I'll let you know on that stuff too.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
So before we get into the couple more of those spin the wheel questions, tell everybody where they can find you, your websites, all that stuff.
Yeah. So my website is brianwalkermusic.com, B-R-I-A-N. And most of my socials are just Brian Walker Music. So facebook.com/Brian Walker Music, tiktok.com/Brian Walker Music. And then I do have a TikTok channel called Brian Walker Writes, where I've been putting original songs. And I also have Twitter, which is BWalk Official. The only reason I didn't use Brian Walker Music is because there's too many characters. So that's the only one that's different.
Okay. And I was still thinking about the cover song because I mentioned that earlier. You've got such a pop influence. I'm like, should I make it hard and give him a country song to turn pop? I think I don't know if I ought to do that to him. So I was thinking, like, if you do because you do faster tempo songs, you know, even with the slower stuff. So I'm like, okay, let me think of something fast that he could do and maybe make it his own. Now, you said you do covers. What kind of covers do you normally do? Let me get an idea of what you do.
I do like a lot of top 40 stuff. Like I've done Justin Bieber, Ed Sheeran, The Beatles, Elvis, John Mayer, Coldplay, Maroon 5, Niall Horan, KT Tunstall. A lot of like the modern top 40 stuff for the most part.
I got one for you.
All right.
I got one for you. It's a funny song. It's from the 80s hip hop kind of era. Like I said, if you don't want to do it, you ain't gonna hurt my feelings. But you've heard of Sir Mix-a-Lot.
I don't know how to perform that one. I don't know.
It's not Baby Got Back, it's Buttermilk Biscuits.
I don't know that one.
Have you ever heard that one?
I haven't heard that one.
Okay. I'm going to play it for you real quick. Like, if you don't want to do it, that's fine too. But this is kind of, I was sitting there thinking about it. I was like, I don't want to give you anything slow and to change it fast. Now you can take fast songs and slow them down, but it's like taking a slow song to speed it up is like, I don't know if you can do that or not. So
yeah, it's a lot of remixes do that.
Yeah.
Now I'm your big mall dropper, mud duck stopper, Fila on the bottom and Adidas on the cover.
Is that too fast?
I can tell you didn't tell it by the looks I'm catching. I hate dumb skeezers, MC beater. Drop $5,000 on my bird wide meter. Smooth like ice, don't get nice. Just turn up the box for the mix till I slice the view.
You ever heard this song?
Hadn't.
Y'all ready to get busy?
So it's kind of a fun song.
Yeah,
and like I said, if you can't do it, like I said, it's not hard. Yours is actually one of the harder ones for me to place because it's like he does. I don't want to give it. Like I said, I don't want to give you a sad song to make it to, you know. And you know what? Now, because if I give you one like a popular song that's like House of the Rising Sun to make it your own, people are going to get you. I just know they will. I know they'll jump down your throat for like, no, you can't do that to House of the Rising Sun. So I wanted to think of something that would be older that they wouldn't really remember and it would be fun.
I like your way of thinking, though, because a lot of times I just hear a song and play it kind of like the way that it is on the radio. But like taking a fast song, making it slow, or a slow song fast, I think is something that would definitely be interesting to do more of.
Okay. Yeah. See, I do the opposite. I take the fast. Like I took Paul Abdul and this was the band straight. We do straight up and we're learning how to do it. And we've turned it very bluesy. Very, oh, we cool. Slowed it down and put some like, I'll let you hear it in a little bit. But we took it on a date, but we did it very bluesy and slow. And I really like the vibe that we put it into because we took it from her pop music, and turned it into Southern rock. I just like the way we did it. So I got to figure out how to do to straighten it up, but I like that. So if I can think of another one, but that's my challenge for you. If you think you can do it, if you don't want to, like I said, you ain't got to, but I just want to give you something that's more your alley.
Yeah, I think I'd probably have to learn it a little bit. I'm not good at like on the spot.
Oh yeah, there's no time limit on these. I tell people do it at your leisure, do it whenever you can. Just when you do, if you do it, let me know, tag me, and I'll make sure I tag the artist and everything so that they can see it and maybe they'll like it too.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
So now you mentioned your websites and stuff. Do you have a place that tells all your shows that are coming up?
On the website, it's just brianwalkermusic.com/shows.
Okay, perfect. So yeah, because like I said, you mentioned about April and stuff. So guys, that'll be passed when it comes out, but go to his website so you can see what other shows he has. That would be cool because you're in New Hampshire. I know. Are you playing anywhere outside of the state right now?
I have a show coming up in Leeds, New York. I'm
Okay.
playing a lot in Massachusetts, Maine. I don't know if I have any in Vermont right now, but I'm talking to someone about booking some there. So,
Okay.
Rhode Island, everything in like the Northeast area.
Okay. So any of my Northeast listeners, if you go see them up there, just go hang out and let them know. So, all right, now you ready for the wheel of death some more?
All right, yeah, let's hear it.
Couple more. If you could have dinner with one person, who would it be?
Dead or alive?
Dead or alive?
Dead or alive. That's a really good one. I'm sure it would change depending on the day, but right now I'm just thinking that Beethoven would be interesting. I feel
Okay.
like he'd probably be like writing a symphony while we're eating. It'd be interesting.
And
At
you're over there on your phone tapping, like, okay, what is it? What is the time, right?
what BPM? I like co-writing with Beethoven. That would be cool.
Right. I wonder if he ever, I don't know, I don't know about then if he'd ever, anybody would have the nerve to sit down and write with him.
Yeah, he seems very intense from what I've seen from pictures, so
Right. That's
yeah.
like if I go and, because I love co-writing, I'm gonna pull up beside Chris Stapleton and write. No, they ain't, no, that ain't happening.
That'd be a very interesting co-writing session with them in the room. Chris Stapleton, Beethoven,
There
Beethoven.
was a guy, because like I said, in Nashville, the people go play all the time, and you hear these stories. He was, I don't remember where I heard, if he was telling me a story, if I was out playing, and he was playing a song. It was a Stapleton song, and Stapleton walked in. That would literally freeze me. I was like, no, here you go. I
Yeah.
just handed my guitar. I was like, you go ahead. I'm not gonna do it while you're here. There's no way. All
That's scary.
right. So next question. Where do you see yourself in 5 to 10 years?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I typically try to look not too far into the future, only like I'm just thinking of my day to day. I definitely have big goals. Like, I'd like to be like signed to a record label and have songs on the radio and be at the Grammys and all that stuff. But I try not to focus too much on that. I try to think more about what do I need to do today to get to those goals. So, but that is like where I would hopefully like to end up as like a producer, writer, and an artist.
Okay. And like I said, I think with your work ethic, I don't see why you couldn't. I mean, you're a great songwriter, you're a good singer, you got a great work ethic. I mean, I don't see any reason why not. It's not like because a lot of times people are like, they could be the greatest singer in the world or the greatest songwriter. And then I always question, like, why am I not here? It's always usually because it's not that you're not talented. It's one is, who do you know? You got to make those contacts. You got to network. You got to get out and talk to people. And I know songwriters in general are kind of introverted, and they don't talk. I know when I'm out, like I have to force myself to talk. When I was a kid, I had speech impediment, and now I'm kind of hard of hearing in one of my ears. So I don't talk. If I'm out in public, you won't see me talking. So it's like, to get over that, I do the podcast so that I have to talk to people and I have to hear myself talk. That's why I ask the questions. If you're, do you like listening to yourself? Because I know I don't, but I have to force myself to do that.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it is really challenging to like for me. I know I used to hate being on video, and like when I was at my first college, like I put up one YouTube video of me singing a cover, and I like took it down the next day because I was just like very camera shy, but I think it's one of those things where if you keep doing it, you kind of get a little bit more comfortable with it too.
And you do. And again, that goes like to what you were saying, that with people, you, it's not that you're not talented. You just got to network. You got to get out of your comfort zone, and you got to, I don't say make realistic goals, because you can want to be Grammys, you can do all this stuff, but make smaller steps to get there, like you mentioned.
Yeah, like the short-term goals, like what am I going to do today? What I want to accomplish this week, this month, for the year, and yeah.
So what's your short-term goal? What do you want to do by a month or 2 months? What's your plan?
Right now, my biggest goal is to try to figure out how to speed up my songwriting process. So it's taken me, like, I think I put out like 3 or 4 songs, or maybe less last year, just because I'm like such a perfectionist and I'm trying to like re-record vocals and rewrite the lyrics and get the mix perfect. And I've been doing music videos, and that's been a whole process of like hiring actors, booking studios, coming up with the money. Cause I fund all of my music videos with money from my gigs. So it's been, what I'm learning is like, what I need to do is lower my costs, so I don't have to spend all this time trying to come up with the money. So I'm going to put a pause on the music videos, and my goal is to try to get to a point where I can get out a song every like 4 to 6 weeks. So just putting out songs that hopefully are as good as or a step up from what I've done, but doing it a lot faster.
Okay. Now, would you ever do, do you like doing the singles or you, or albums? Would you ever do an album?
I'd love to do an album, but I feel like from what I've heard from people, it's a better idea to build a fan base with singles. And then when you have like a lot of loyal listeners, then they'll be expecting an album, and you're going to probably get it listened to more if you have like the existing fan base. But I think it's easier to build a fan base with like 5 singles than like 1 EP or an album or something.
Yeah. See, with my band, we can kind of split the cost, but I want to do an EP or an action album. I'm gonna do an album called The Greatest Hits You've Never Heard. It's just me and my songs that like, I know otherwise nobody would do it here.
Yeah, I've just been like writing, like putting all my singles on an EP, but I definitely like the idea of albums, and I think that's cool that you're doing that for sure.
Yeah, that's my next goal. That's what I want to do, because like when I started, like, all right, I want to play out in front of people. I want to get a song recorded. I want to get a band. I want to get a gig. That's what I step for. So my next like little steps is get the band's album out, because I've been working on it for 2 years. Get the collaboration album out, which I'm doing for local singer songwriters, which we're taking songs that I write or co-write and letting somebody else sing it, because let's face it, there's tons better singers than me, and there's tons of them here in Georgia that are great. And then the third one, it would be like get the Greatest Hits You Never Heard album out, of me singing songs that fit my voice better, that I wouldn't do with a band, but would be just be kind of more singer songwriter in the style of that. That's my goals.
Well, that's awesome, because I definitely like look up to people who can get those albums out, because I know how involved it is to like take care of the mixing, the recording costs, and to like, you know, it's a big accomplishment to be able to do something like that. So yeah, we should best of luck with that.
Thank you, sir. Right. More Will of Death. What's one secret you still keep from your parents?
I don't know if they know I'm playing a gig in Leeds, New York, which is a bit of a long drive. So I don't know if that's a good answer to the question, but that's it's always kind of scary, the long drives for sure.
No, I've told my mom when they were alive, my parents had both passed away, but when she was alive, I would tell her like years later, I can't get in trouble now. Like I remember there was one time me and my buddy just got in the car and we drove to Ohio just to eat at Arby's, and we turned around and came back home. We left like at 11 o'clock at night. They didn't know.
Yeah, as always, I can't think of any other secrets, but those are always fun, those stories.
Okay, a couple more questions for you, Brian. I got one that I ask at the end, but we got one more from the Wheel of Death.
All right.
Okay, if not music, what do you think you'd be doing?
Acting.
Yeah, I kind of figured you talked about acting and you love doing the video aspect of it.
Yeah, I was always like 50-50 on music and acting, but I ended up getting pulled more into music because I kind of have like a lot of emotions, and I feel like it's easier to express that with songs, and that idea resonated with me more than like acting other people's stories. But yeah, I definitely have a passion for acting too, and I like taking on different characters and all that stuff.
I think it's fun. My daughter was just telling me, she just came back from Florida. I've got twins that are 13, boy and girl. And she went to Florida with her chorus group. And they did something like where they went to Disney World and there was like a bell, like the Beauty and the Beast. And then everybody's like, hey, they asked her questions. So they all volunteered and she volunteered too. So they did voiceover work and she got to play Belle. She did her voice. And then they watched the movie. Well, what she didn't know is that when it would come on, it was her voice that went through the movies. And she couldn't tell until like one word came out that she knew it was her. It's like, oh, that's me. And I thought that was so cool.
Yeah, voice acting is really cool too.
Oh, yeah. I've had a voice actor on here. And that's, if you remember that there's a Red Bull commercial where the witch, like always like in October, like the Halloween, the Red Bull gives you wings, it's the witch.
Yeah.
That was her. She came on. So I had her, her name is Kaylee Rose. She came on and I had her do the voice so she could like Georgia song. I can't do it, but she did it in the Georgia Songbirds and she did it with the witch voice. I thought it was so cool.
That's super fun.
Right, one more question for you, Brian, before I let you go. Tell everybody what's the best advice you ever got?
Probably I've always been trying to think if there's better advice for like musicians, but Ed Sheeran said it in an interview, if you want to be a successful singer-songwriter, what should you do? And he said, gig and write songs. And it's so simple, but I think it's like the best advice because gigging, you're working on your voice, you're getting your music out there, you're practicing your instruments, and then songs are really, I think, what launched an artist is like the difference between the people here on the radio and everyone else is the fact that they have these hit songs and these like special songs that people love. I think I've learned with my music that certain songs have built fans. So like only because of that one song, I have a fan. So I've just learned the power of like a really good song. So I think that was really good advice to gig and write songs.
Okay. Yeah. Jamie Foxx told a story about Ed Sheeran. He said I guess when he was just getting started and there was I don't know if you ever heard of Def Comedy Jam. It's like a bunch of like Martin Lawrence, Jamie Foxx, a lot of like rappers, hip hop artists come through there. And it's like a comedy stuff, like with Cedric the Entertainer. And it's all that way. And it's like, then this little white guy comes out with his ukulele in the middle of the concert and starts playing and brought the house down. I mean, you got to find that video. Jamie Foxx tells a great story. So he was telling the story of it. But I just thought that was so cool. That it just shows like music brings everybody together. I don't care who you are. It brings you together. And for have that kind of confidence to walk out there with a bunch of hip hoppers and rappers with your ukulele and play, man, that took some balls. I was like, oh my God, that's courageous. That's a man who knows what he wants and doesn't care.
Yeah, that's impressive for sure.
Well, I've had a good time, Brian.
Me too. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for coming on the show. And I'll let you hear something real quick off the air, but, tell everybody one more time where they can find you.
Yep. So BrianWalkerMusic.com. And then I'm on Instagram at Brian Walker Music. Facebook is Facebook.com/BrianWalkerMusic. Twitter is at BWalkOfficial. And then TikTok at Brian Walker Music. And I have the songwriting TikTok channel at Brian Walker Writes. And then on Spotify and Apple Music, I'm just Brian Walker, BRIAN.
All right. Everybody, that's the Georgia Songbird, and we were talking with Brian Walker. And thank you, Brian, for coming on.
Thank you.